Acts chapter 16. Let's go back to the book of Acts, chapter number 16. Acts chapter 16. And I don't know what's going on this side of the auditorium here, but in Sunday school, something funny happened when they took up Sunday school offering. And then just now when we took up offering, something happened there. And I thought of the verse. The Bible says, "The Lord loveth a cheerful giver." And the word cheerful means hilarious giver. So this side here wins the prize for being spiritual today during offering. I don't know. I don't know what happened, but that's, hey, I'd rather have people laughing when we take up offering than crying. All right. And we should enjoy giving, right? And what happens, whatever happened. I like to be in on the fun, though. That's the thing. Acts chapter 16, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 5. We read from verse 15 on, but verse number 5 this morning, Acts chapter 16. Let me mention this also. I meant to mention it during the announcements, but Brother Stan Shuck is going to be having surgery on his foot this Wednesday morning, if you'd pray for him. He's had a lot of problems with his feet and so on, with the diabetes that he's had. And so if you would just pray for Stan. He called me this morning, said, "I think I got a touch of the flu," so he wouldn't be here. But it does have the surgery scheduled for Wednesday, so if you could keep Stan in prayer. Brother Mark, he's gone through a lot of medical issues, hasn't he, over the past few years, and the cancer in the throat, and just, what it was, 100 and how many days in the hospital there? 3 months in the hospital. And so just pray for that, if you would. Acts chapter number 16 and verse number 5, "And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, 'If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there.' And she constrained us." In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 11, the Bible says, "Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things." 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, I think you know by heart now, says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found what? Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." The idea of found is to be someone to come upon after searching to find something that you were looking for, to be found. To inquire of, to scrutinize and observe, to find out by practice and experience, all ideas of the word. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Displaying the idea of people scrutinizing, observing, and examining one to find them faithful. I don't think we give enough credit to God's use of women throughout history. I'll say that again. I don't think we give enough credit to God's use of women throughout history. God has used women in a wonderful way throughout history and still does. The very fact that God chose to use a woman alone to bring the Savior into the world is a very strong credit to God's use of women in history. How many of you here this morning have European ancestry? Would you raise your hand up? Good and high. You have European ancestry. Well, that's almost all of us. Well, the person we're going to be preaching about today may very well have been the first person saved in Europe. She's at least the first one mentioned in Scripture. And today I want to talk about Lydia, found faithful. Lydia, found faithful. Let's pause for a moment of prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to be here. Dear Lord, we love you and we thank you that you loved us. We love you because you first loved us. So I pray this morning that you'd minister to our hearts and challenge us, meet our needs. Again, if there's anybody here that is not saved, may the Holy Spirit prick the heart, open the heart to the gospel. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Speaking about Lydia, she was certainly found, scrutinized, examined, observed to be faithful. I want to mention that she was from Thyatira. Lydia was from a place called Thyatira. None of us have probably been there. Is this hollow or something? Does it sound funny to you? It's actually coming right from my head then. No. It just sounds a little hollow, Jay. I don't know if just the volume down or something. That sounds a little bit better, doesn't it? Yeah. All right, very good. Whatever you did, that was great. Thank you. So she was from Thyatira. Thyatira was known for its dye making. The name Thyatira means castle of Thyra. Thyatira was specially noted for its trade guilds, organized there perhaps more than in any other ancient city. Powerful among them was the Guild of Dyers, who believed took the root of called madder root. Some think a shellfish, a dye out of the shellfish, and others have said from the madder root for making this purple dye that was unique to Thyatira. And a member of this guild seems to have been Lydia of Thyatira, who, according to verse 14, sold purple, her dyes, her purple dyes, in the town, the city of Philippi. The color now is more called, they say, Turkish red. These guilds were closely connected with the Asiatic religions, oftentimes a part of pagan feasts, with immoral practices associated with their religious get-togethers. And so the guilds were kind of yoked up and connected with some of the heathen practices. And they were by nature oftentimes opposed to the message of Christianity and the message of the Jews, that of morality. But she was from this town called, or city called, Thyatira. Let's think about her business interests for just a moment. If you look at this passage here in verse 14, a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. She attended to things which were spoken of Paul. Her business interests. Lydia was in Philippi of Macedonia and had set up what seems to be a shop selling purple dye from Thyatira. She was a businesswoman. It must have been very profitable financially for her because she seems to have had quite a large house to accommodate many people, including her household. Last week we spoke on a virtuous woman, a woman of strength. And one of the things that the scripture mentions is that she is industrious, demonstrating initiative to help eke out the family income when needed. Lydia was one of those type of people. Notice in Proverbs it said she considers a field and buys it with the fruit of her hands. She plants a vineyard. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Certainly we can see that this part of being virtuous was part of Lydia's life. She was strong in that way, meeting the needs, eking out the family income. It's obvious here to me that Lydia was a woman of strength, a strong woman. Her husband is not mentioned, but her household is. So whether or not her husband was alive, I don't know, was present, I'm not really sure. But she is mentioned. You know, we could have conjecture, perhaps he died. We could give conjecture, perhaps he was caught up in the immoral activity of Thyatira and she said, I can't have a part of that. I'm moving to Philippi and setting up shop. I don't know why she got there except for to sell goods, but her husband is not mentioned. But thank God for the women who do what it takes to help make ends meet when it's needed. Amen? Thank God for women like that. They're going to participate when it's appropriate, as it's fit within their family household setting, and help make ends meet. That's a virtuous, a strong woman, according to the Bible. So we see her interest here to sell. She was there for business. Look at, secondly, her spiritual interest. And this is of utmost importance here when we think about Lydia. It's what it's really about, her spiritual interest. If you notice in verse number 14, it says that she worshiped God and heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Her spiritual interest. I don't think that she was a Jewess. I think that she was probably a Greek-speaking person from Thyatira, of heathen descendancy, and that she got acquainted with Jewish people, whether in Thyatira or having come to Philippi, met some Jewish people, and having come out of a heathen culture, I think that their morality probably was a reprieve from her. And anyway, she was interested in spiritual things. It says that she worshiped God. So it seems she had become one who reverenced the one true God, the God of the Jews, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Bible, the Creator. She worshiped God, reverenced the one true God. You know, we live in a day where people deny the existence of God. The first step towards salvation is a step of acknowledging that there is a God who made you. Amen? And she worshiped God, the Bible says. She was present, as we see in the story here, and apparently involved in a Jewish prayer group. Back under the Roman Empire, when there were enough people in a town, a colony, that the Roman Empire would allow them to establish a synagogue. But until there was enough Jewish people there, they wouldn't establish a synagogue, but many people would get together on the Sabbath, the Jewish Sabbath, our Saturday. They would get together and have prayer. Well, here was a prayer meeting on the Sabbath, and she was present and apparently involved with that Jewish prayer group. It seems to have been a ladies' prayer group. I've often mentioned here how thankful I am that we have husbands and wives that come to church. In many places, many settings, it's just the women, and the guy may tag along out of coercion once in a while. But I thank God for men and women that come together here to hear the Word of God. But apparently here, it was just women that had gotten together. It doesn't mention any men there, but the women that had gotten together for a prayer meeting. It seems for certain in my mind that she had broken association with the heathen culture and practices known in Thyatira. Folks, if you want to know what their culture was like, look at our modern culture today. You'll get a good picture. No authority in their lives. Do anything you want. You're anything you want to be. There's no God to answer to. Worship whomever, whatever you want, however you want to do it, whenever. That type of thinking. False gods. It seems that she had broken association with them because she was meeting with these Jewish women and having prayer on the Sabbath. Perhaps, again, conjecture on my part, perhaps the moral fiber of the Jewish people appealed to her, having been surrounded by the heathen cultural practice. You know, you can only take so much of it. Amen? That could be why she seems to have been alone. Maybe the cultural practices were too much for her, and her husband and her couldn't be together. I don't know. Again, conjecture on my part. But she joined up with the Jewish people who had Bible laws by which they lived. The Ten Commandments. No idolatry. No adultery. No lying. No taking God's name in vain. No theft. These were a moral code by which they lived, the Jewish people, which was different than the heathen culture. By the way, it's different in our day too. Amen. So maybe that moral fiber appealed to her, and she wanted to associate with people that were more moral in their approach to life. She obviously had become one among the Jewish colony there at Philippi. So she had a spiritual interest. But spiritual interest alone doesn't save. Getting involved with a group that abides by biblical morality doesn't save a person. I want you to notice something else about her, her gospel interest. Her gospel interest. In verse number 14, the Bible says, she heard us. She heard us. In the last part, verse 14, it says, she attended unto the things which were spoken of by Paul. If you notice up in verse number 10, what things might they be? Well, in verse number 10, after he, Paul, had seen the vision, immediately we, Luke writing this, I believe, we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. You know, an interesting thing happened with the Apostle Paul and his entourage as they were spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. They wanted to speak to every available person at every available place at every available time. And we read that they decided to go throughout Phrygia and into Galatia, but the Holy Spirit said, no, don't go there. By the way, God commands us to witness to every person. But then God sometimes says, you know what? Go here instead. And so that's what they're doing. They're okay, well, let's go. We'll go up into the regions of Galatia. The Holy Spirit said, nope, don't go there. And he said, well, we'll go to Mysia. And then we'll try to go to Bithynia. But the Holy Spirit said, no, don't go there. And then they passed by, the Bible says they came to Troas. And then Paul had a vision of the night. Thank God, the whole congregation here tonight with European ancestry, or today. Thank God, hopefully if I preach long enough, it'll be night when I'm done, amen. Thank God for the vision God gave Paul. Because we have the gospel today, humanly speaking, because of what transpired in this passage of Scripture. The Holy Spirit directed them, instead of going north, go west, young man, to Greece, to Macedonia. And in verse number 9, it says, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And certainly the Apostle Paul and those there interpreted that vision to be God. God had said, no here, no here, no here. And then the Apostle Paul has a vision of a man saying, come help us. And the deduction from that vision was, the Lord wants us to go to Greece, to Macedonia, and the purpose in verse number 10, it says, the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Now we know what the gospel is. Paul defined that in Acts chapter 15, didn't he? We talked about it on Easter Sunday morning. The gospel is the fact that Jesus Christ came into this world, lived a sinless life, died for our sins according to the Scripture, was buried, and rose again from the grave for our justification, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the gospel. I wonder if there's the man in your heart or the woman in your heart crying, Paul, come and help me. I'm not saved for certain. I want to make sure. The man from Macedonia in Paul's vision said, come help us. Folks, listen to me. The world is helpless for all eternity without the saving grace of Jesus Christ. You can join every religion, follow every creed, but unless you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you'll still go to hell. She'd become interested in the Jewish message because it was a message of morality based on the moral code that God gave, based on God, the God of Israel. The Apostle Paul sees this vision in the night, and they said, we need to go there and we need to preach the gospel. Folks, that is what people need first and foremost. Amen? They don't need Baptist-ology. They need Bible presentation of the saving grace of God. So the Apostle Paul has the visions. They go to Macedonia. A man called them there in the vision. But when they get there, they go on the Sabbath, as Paul would do wherever he went. He found the Jews gathering, and they gathered on the Sabbath. And he would preach the gospel or reason to them out of Scripture. In fact, if you notice in this passage of Scripture, verse number 17, it says the same day, this is later on, Paul followed and Silas, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation. And the Apostle Paul goes on, and I lost my point here where I was going to read there. Pardon me? Thank you, if that's it. And this she did many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said in the Spirit, I command thee. No, that's not where I wanted to go. At any rate, but thanks, Bob. I lost my, yeah, that's all right. I was going to demonstrate, and I lost my place, and I'm embarrassed. I got to move on. But the point was, Paul would go to these towns, and immediately he'd begin preaching the gospel, and he'd gather with the Jews. So I think that maybe he might have had in mind that he's going to go to this prayer meeting or this meeting where the Jews are gathered and find some male leadership to present the gospel to. A man had appeared to him in the vision. But lo and behold, when he gets there in verse 12, the Sabbath day we went out of the city by the riverside, and prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the what? The women. A man called for him in his vision, but he gets there, and there is just women there. Well, women need the gospel, amen? And where you find women, you'll usually find men. Amen? And so he sits down there and prays with the women and then begins speaking, I think, reasoning to them out of the scripture. We saw her spiritual interest. She became a Jewish lady, in essence. Now notice her gospel interest. She heard Paul. She heard him. Now, sometimes people hear a message, but they don't hear the message. I've heard Pastor Whitman speak, and I heard his voice, but what was said did not have an impact. What was said did not sink down into my mind and affect my heart. But the heard here is the idea that she listened, considering what Paul said. She had an interest. She already showed the interest by leaving the heathen culture to become a Jewish proselyte. She's now, as a Jewish proselyte, gathered together with Jewish ladies in prayer on the Sabbath day, not knowing much about Christ or anything about Christ, gathering together on the Sabbath day. And then Paul comes and begins reasoning with them out of the scripture. If you notice in verse number 14, it says, she heard us. And then the last part, she attended to the things which were spoken of Paul. She listened and considered that which was being preached from the Word of God. You know what? Sometimes people just close their mind to what God says. I'm not going to let it affect me. I've told you about the lady in the first church that I pastored that when I would preach, she'd be all in during the music, but as soon as I stood to preach, she turned, if you were me, she turned her head away from this. I always got a good glimpse of her ear, but she turned her head away from me and sat there the whole time I preached, never looked at me. That's what I said. And the whole time, and you know what? It didn't matter. I loved that person. And I wanted her to hear what God's word said because it could have helped her. And I knew the scenario, the whole scenario, the family, teenage boy that went to camp that tried to dedicate his life to the Lord and came home and got ridiculed by his parents for it. I wished her husband would have taken her head and gone this way. But she heard. I wonder how many times people sit in service and they're thinking about what happened before church getting here. Thinking about something that's going to happen this next week, a doctor's appointment, financial problems, financial payments that need to be made, or work situation, wrapped up in thought and don't really hear what God has for us. Folks, this is a sacred time, amen? We gather here to hear the Word of God, and it's a time where our hearts, each one of us, should be open to say, you know, God has something for me. She went to the prayer meeting, and a man comes and opens from the Scripture and tells them about the Savior that the Old Testament pointed to. She heard Paul, listened to the things that he spoke, and then notice what happened. God opened her heart. Amen? When one is open to what God's Word says, they open the door for God to open their heart. A verse that's oftentimes misapplied. John 6:44 says, no man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. People say, see, nobody gets saved unless God draws them, so God's going to pass over some and just elect the others. That's not the way it works. The Bible says in John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. And it goes on and says, Jesus speaking, it is written in the prophets, they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me. The drawing to Christ is what God does when someone opens their ear to the Word of God. And as Paul, this young woman, her heart was already open to the Word of God, the things of God that the Jewish people believed that pointed to Christ. And when Paul came and he opened out of the Scriptures and talked to them about the Christ of the Scriptures, she listened intently. And listening intently to the gospel and knowing her need, her heart, the Lord opened. People turn a deaf ear and block the voice of God. But when people open up their mind and their heart to what the Word of God says, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When people open up their mind and their heart to what God says, God the Holy Spirit gets in there with a cutting knife of the Word of God and does something, opens up the heart. God opened her heart to the gospel, to her need. Folks, what a wonderful thing happens when it goes from just head knowledge to heart need. She received Christ as her Savior. She realized her need for a Savior. You know, Jesus walked with those on the road from Emmaus after his resurrection. And the whole time that he walked with them, he talked to them out of the Old Testament scriptures about things that pointed to him, and they marveled. There's so much in the Old Testament that pointed to Jesus Christ, the Lamb, all the sacrifices, the blood sprinkled, the ark, the whale and Jonah pointed to Jesus. Psalm 22, to the crucifixion. Go through the Old Testament, the time when Abraham was called upon to offer Isaac pointed to Jesus Christ, the completely submissive, surrendered Son of God, willfully laying down his life for the world. So many things pointed to Jesus. Her interest in spiritual things brought her to the place where she was interested in what God's Word said. And when Paul opened up the Word of God to her and she listened, God opened up her heart to her need, and she saw Jesus and received Jesus as her Savior. There's an interesting phrase that we've noticed in our Galatians Bible study on Wednesday night. By the way, we do a Bible study Wednesday night. And in our Galatians Bible study on Wednesday night, we noticed in the book of Galatians where the Bible talks about as they preached the gospel, it was the idea of painting a picture of Christ, whom Christ hath been evidently set forth. Galatians, where Paul was wanting to go at this point and didn't get there, those people never saw Jesus. But when the gospel was preached to them, a picture was painted of Jesus and what he did. Christ hath been evidently set forth, painted a picture of Christ before them. That's what happened here at the prayer meeting. Apostle Paul took the Old Testament and painted a picture of Jesus Christ. And Lydia said, I know he's the Savior. And she received him as her Savior. And then she did what all Christians ought to do when they get saved. They obey the Lord. She got baptized. You know, it's simple here, but it's plain. Notice it says, she attended to the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, you know when a person gets baptized? After they get saved, right? The Ethiopian eunuch said to Philip, he said, what doth hinder me that I should be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. The Lydia there, the lady from Thyatira, the seller of purple, said, I see Christ and my need. I need him as my Savior. I trust him. All right, then you need to get baptized. She obeyed the Lord after she got saved, a public testimony of the saving grace of God. Think of where she'd come from, the heathen culture of the people in Thyatira, a member of a guild that sold dye, oftentimes associated with some of the heathen celebrations. And then she comes and becomes a Jewish lady, in essence, and meeting with the Jews and following the Old Testament code. And she's pointed to Christ, and she comes to Christ as her Savior, and now takes a public stand that I have trusted Christ, and I'm following Him in baptism. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. And noticed her ministry interest. It's interesting to me that when people get saved, they become interested in helping the ministry. Her ministry interest. Notice what she does here in verse 15. And when she was baptized and her household, we'll come back to them, and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Her ministry interest, she said, you know what, guys? I'm going to provide lodging for you, if you will. You're here for the ministry. You've no place to live. You've preached the gospel. I got saved. And you know what? I got a place for you. I want to be a part. I want to do what I can to further the ministry. I want to be a part of the ministry that brought me to Jesus Christ. We see later on in the passage of Scripture, after the Philippian jailer episode, where Paul had been beaten with many stripes and then let out of prison, she takes him back into her house, letting the public know, hey, I am a part of that ministry. Providing comfort, putting herself out to take them in when they'd been badly treated for the gospel in Philippi. And I want to say this, thank God for women who are interested in helping in the ministry of the gospel of Christ. Where would we be without women who serve in various capacities in the church? If there were no women, first of all, it wouldn't smell very good in here. But where would we be without women who serve in various capacities in the church? A woman does not have to preach a sermon at the church and won't hear. A woman does not have to become a pastor of the church. I think that's unscriptural. Sorry, Joyce. A woman shouldn't become a pastor or a co-pastor, according to the Bible. But there's wonderful ministries with children and young ladies and other ladies and helps and hospitality and shut-in and music and personal evangelism. Women can lead other people to Christ. And prayer and Bible studies and other numerous ministries that women can be involved in. And God doesn't minimize their role. She wanted to be a part of the ministry. And thank God for women like that. As I was preparing, I was going to list so many different people, but just thank God for the women in our church that serve in so many different areas. Amen? What a blessing. Music and wonderful music that we have. And the ladies group singing. Have you been blessed by them or what? Here I go. I wasn't going to do this, but I am. And the Eagles Club and little kids Sunday school and the nursery. Thank God for the women that serve in the nursery. Could you imagine if they let that crowd loose on us? Right? Thank God for the women that serve in the nursery. And it is a ministry. When we've talked about the nursery with ladies before, I want people to bring their kids, and their kids learn that other people love them, not just mom and dad. They need to learn to open their heart to other people, and parents need to let go a little bit and let other people influence their children, and it starts at nursery. You know, no child is going to say, I can't live for God today as a grown-up because you put me in the nursery. It's not going to happen. And I think about the prayer meetings. I miss the prayers of my mom, I think, and my mother-in-law. I'm going to miss the prayers of Mrs. Carter. She prays. That woman is a prayer warrior. She'll be talking to you. She'll pray, and then she'll talk to you and pray and talk to you and go right in and out of conversation, praying and talking. Jenny Jewell told me several years ago when she'd had surgery on her back and we didn't think she was going to walk again. I did not think she'd walk. I remember her telling me, "Pastor Whitman, I'm of no value." She had been helping an Eagles club at that point in time. Her and Anita took the kids camping. They were a big help. And she said, "Pastor Whitman, I'm of no value to anybody. I can't do anything in the church anymore." And I remember saying to her, "Jenny, you can have the ministry of prayer that means so much more than some of the activity that we're involved, and the activity we're involved with can't be as effective as it could be without prayer." Thank God for the women who are part of the ministry in many ways. Then her spiritual influence. I want to think about her spiritual influence, Lydia's spiritual influence. Notice, I said I'd come back to it in verse number 15. When she was baptized, what are the next three words there? And her household. Amen. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said to the Philippian jailer later in this chapter, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Doesn't mean if you get saved, your family will. It means if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. And if your family believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll be saved too. But if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you might be the catalyst that influences them to put their faith in Jesus Christ as well. What are you waiting for? When she was baptized and her household, her family got saved. Now thinking down the road later on in time, I don't know where they went and what happened to them. Maybe one of them became a missionary. Maybe one became a pastor. Maybe one became a pastor's wife. Maybe one became a prayer warrior by the riverside. But her family got saved and baptized as well. Her city, Thyatira, had a church we read about later on there. When it was started, I'm not sure. It was included as one of the seven churches to whom the Lord Jesus sent letters through John in Revelation. Later, when Paul wrote to Philippi and mentioned other ladies, Euodias and Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Paul mentioned other people, but he didn't mention Lydia at Philippi. Well, maybe she'd gone back to Thyatira. Maybe she became a part of the ministry in the church in Thyatira. What an influence one person can have on the lives of others. The first person saved that is of record in the Bible in Greece was Lydia. Did a lot of reading about the gospel as it spread in Europe. Some believe that the Apostle Paul went on to Spain and to the Far East Islands, which would be the British Isles. Some believe that, and there is some historical things that point that that may have happened. Possible. I don't know. But the gospel was continuing to spread its tentacles out across Europe. And you and I have the gospel today because of it. Her spiritual influence. And then Lydia was found faithful. Found faithful. Notice verse number 15. This is interesting. And this is the message. All the rest was introductory. No. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, read the rest of this with me. Ready? If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. She said, if you judge me to be faithful. Let me be a part of the ministry. She asked them to make a judgment about her faithfulness to the Lord. But people say today, you can't judge. Wait a minute. We all have eyeballs. We all see what other people do or don't do. And we all make judgments as to what that person is on the inside based on what we see on the outside. And she said to them, you make a judgment. You judge whether or not you find me faithful to the Lord. And if so, I'm going to put you guys up so you can keep serving the Lord. How unassertive she was. She said if they found her faithful to the Lord, she would like to do something to help. If they found her to be faithful to the Lord. Ministry participation is open for faithful people. Faithfulness is a divine requirement we've talked about for the last few months for ministry involvement, being stewards of God's riches. If you've found me to be faithful to the Lord, let me serve. Moreover, it's required in stewards, someone that's given a responsibility, that a man be found what? Faithful. How could Paul and others make a judgment about her faithfulness? How could they do it? First, they looked at her belief. Lydia demonstrated faithfulness with her beliefs. Faithfulness is founded upon faith, belief. She'd trusted God of the Bible. She'd trusted Christ, the Son of God. She'd followed him in baptism, and she was demonstrating her belief. When she heard the gospel, she embraced the Savior. When she embraced the Savior, she obeyed in baptism. Faithfulness is based upon what one believes. Faithfulness to the Lord begins with trusting His Word, and that was something that others could judge whether or not one demonstrated externally what they said they believed internally. Her belief, her actions. Her offer to the Apostle Paul was this: if you find me faithful, I'll put you up. If you've found me to be faithful, let me be used to help in any way I'm able to aid the ministry of the Word of God. If you have seen me to be faithful. Our actions are what others use to judge our faithfulness. Jesus asked this question. He said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Her actions in response to the Word of God provided substantial criteria for them to make a judgment. If you found me faithful, let's see. You were praying with the Jewish women, and when I preached the gospel, you received Christ as your Savior. You followed the Lord in baptism. You influenced your family to do that, and truly you've shown yourself by actions to be faithful. Yeah, you can be a part of the ministry. Do our actions, we must ask, do our actions testify? If we were being judged, let's say, by others, i.e. a court of law, do our actions testify of faithfulness? If you've judged me to be faithful to the Lord, I'd like this opportunity. Interesting. And notice her influence. We've already mentioned it, but she had an impact on her family. They could see her following the Lord, and they followed along with her. What an influence potentially she's had. Some groups hold her up as, quote, a saint. Her influence, her comfort. She wanted to be a help, an aid, a comfort to those in ministry. What a blessing for the Apostle Paul and others who travel there in ministry for the Lord, not well funded. And she met their needs physically as they met others' needs spiritually, preaching the Word of God. What a blessing. What a blessing. Come over and help us. There's no man here. But there's a woman who attended to the things that he preached, and then she attended to their needs as they preached. When they suffered for the ministry, she brought them back to her home. She was found faithful because of a life that accompanied her belief. The Bible says in Proverbs 27 and verse 2, "Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, not thine own lips." She didn't come to them and say, "Listen, guys, listen, I've heard the gospel. I got saved, got baptized. My kids got saved and baptized. And so listen, I've earned the right." She said, "If you've found me to be faithful to the Lord, I'd like an opportunity to do something." God blesses that. Amen. She was found faithful because of a life that accompanied her belief. Do others find us faithful? Would we be willing to honestly say to everybody here, if you found me to be faithful, then let me do this? If you have found me, would you be willing to open up yourself to the critique of others? Say, have you found me to be faithful? Wow. We want to say we have been. But how do others feel? Does God find us faithful, entrusting his riches unto us for our use and his glory? Does God find us faithful? Let's think about a few things we've mentioned real quick. Lydia was interested in knowing God. She acted on the light she had. She became involved with the Jewish ladies' prayer group. She listened to the message of the Apostle Paul. She was willing to admit she needed to be saved. She had a good influence on all her family. She wanted to help the men in the ministry. She comforted the Apostle Paul after he'd been mistreated by others. She was not looking for to be in the limelight. She was just trying to keep the light shining. She wasn't asking to be a preacher. She was asking to help the preachers. She was not seeking self-recognition. She was seeking God's honor and glory. She wasn't promoting herself on her own word. She asked to be used based on how she was seen by others. And she was found faithful. Her ability to be more involved was based by her request on the faithfulness she'd already exhibited. In closing, a few lessons we ought to think about. We might be the first person who gets saved in a family. Let's be faithful and have an influence on the rest. There's a heaven and hell that impacts every family member. We can be an encouragement to others who are having a tough time. Even those serving in ministry, we all can be an encouragement to one another as we serve the Lord. We all can use our talents in an appropriate way at the right time to help the Lord's work. Her talent was she had a pretty good sized house making decent money, and she was able to help them. Amen? You know, God puts people where he wants them right at the right time. Go into Macedonia. Lo and behold, a woman there gets saved that gives them lodging while they're there. Can use what we have to help the Lord's work. We might not be the catalyst, but we can help start a launching pad. Our faithfulness to the Lord, lastly, will be recognized by others by our actions. By our actions. Lydia was found faithful. She said, "If you found me faithful," they did. How are you being found today? Faithfulness starts with faith. Do you have any spiritual interest at all? Are you concerned about eternity? Have you heard what the Word of God says? Are you willing to put your faith in Christ? Are you already saved? Will you be faithful to what you know and let God open up opportunities for you to serve? Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your Word. Lord, we're thankful for this little section in the Scripture that records Lydia and her seemingly small involvement, yet highly significant. Heavenly Father, may each of us realize that we need to do what we can where we are, time and place, ability, opportunity. But first, we need to be found faithful. I pray again that you'd challenge our hearts. Lord, it just seems like it's so easy to excuse unfaithfulness. Help us to have conviction in our hearts that we are stewards of what you've entrusted us, and we need to be faithful. And Lord, if there's anybody here right now that doesn't know for sure they're on their way to heaven, may they get that matter settled today. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and we've talked about this week after week, different illustrations, different people. As long as the Lord keeps putting these people in my mind and heart to share more, we'll keep on talking about faithfulness. I believe it's the need of our hour. But more importantly, if you're sitting under the sound of my voice right now and you don't know for sure that you're saved, if you don't know for sure that you're saved, that's the need of the hour in your life. You can know. We're all sinners. Sin would send us to hell. But Jesus Christ came into this world, lived a perfect life in your place, went to the cross of Calvary, shed his blood to pay the penalty for your sins and mine, rose again from the grave to leave your sin there, so that if you'd put your trust in him, admit to him you're a sinner and you need his salvation, he'd wash away your sins and give you his robe of righteousness, put upon you, save you from hell, give you eternal life in heaven. If you're here today and you've never personally said, Lord, I'm a sinner, I believe you did this for me, I believe you died and rose again, please come into my heart and save my soul. If you've not done that, you need to do that today. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I wonder first, how many Christians would say, Pastor, by the grace of God, by the grace of God, I want to tighten up my faithfulness for the Lord. Would you slip up your hand? Doesn't mean you're not faithful now, but I just want to be more faithful in all of my life. Would you raise your hand? God bless you all over. Thank you. Just in your heart say, Lord, help me to be faithful in every area of my life. And then is there anybody here today? No one else is looking, I promise. Say, Pastor Whitman, by an uplifted hand, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. In fact, I know I've not been saved, so I wouldn't go to heaven. I want to get that settled in my life. Would you just quietly slip up your hand? I want to get that settled in my life. I'm not saved. I know I need to be. Anybody at all? In just a minute, we're going to stand together and sing as we do. Maybe you ought to just come and pray about your own faithfulness. Maybe someone you know is drifting spiritually. You want to pray for them. Let's use the invitation as a time to do something for God through prayer. If you're not sure you're saved, you come down, meet me at the front, grab my hand and say, Preacher, I want to be saved today. We'll take the Bible and help you get it settled. Shall we stand together, please? Heavenly Father, bless this invitation, we pray. In Jesus' name, you step up.
Number 328, only trust him. Thank you. Father, we're thankful again for your word. I pray that you'd help it to have the impact in our lives that you've intended for it today. You know each one of our needs, and so I pray that that area in our lives that needs the most attention would be the place the Holy Spirit would prick each of us. Lord, that we'd become more conformed to the image of your Son, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you are dismissed.